Hello, this is Andrew Middleton from the Learning, Teaching and Assessment in Higher Education podcast from Sheffield Hallam University in the UK. Today I'm talking with Helen Roger from the Academic Innovation Team at Sheffield Hallam about Backpack. Backpack is a piece of software that allows students to manage and coordinate the content they use in their Blackboard courses as they work offline. I ask Helen about Backpack and she gives us a description at the beginning of this conversation. Helen, can you tell me what Backpack is?
Backpack is a piece of software which enables students to download content from their Blackboard courses and organisations onto a personal computer, whether that's a big machine or a laptop, and so that they can view those materials offline and they can organise them and work with them in a way that suits their learning style best. The piece of software is developed by a company called Agilex, who work, it seems, very closely with Blackboard, so there's a big tie-in there. It costs around £10 per licence if a student was to buy it directly from the company, and it's a lifetime licence, so that means that they don't have to renew that every year. However, there might be updates available on a fairly regular basis, maybe twice a year, and if it's a significant update, then the student might be asked to pay.
So why not just learn online? I thought the whole thing about Blackboard was that it was an online learning environment.
I think that the functionality that Backpack brings is this ability to really be able to organise and structure your own learning. It presents your Blackboard content in a different way. The software allows a level of interaction that isn't possible online using Blackboard itself. For instance, sure, you can print off notes and presentations and so on from Blackboard, but in order to be able to do stuff with them digitally and annotate them digitally, you can't do that, but you can do that within Backpack.
So it does seem to have this sort of feature of being much more of a personal organiser, from what I can see, than, for instance, the Blackboard environment itself is.
Yeah.
So it's about students taking control of their learning materials.
And the other key feature that enables that is the calendar tool, which the students don't have the ability to be able to manage their own calendar within Blackboard. Okay, their tutor may well use the calendar feature in their particular course or organisation and upload information on assignment deadlines and so on, but not many are actually doing that. And the other thing is that within Blackboard, students don't have the ability to use the calendar tool to manage their own learning, but whereas in Backpack, they are able to, and it's really quite a powerful calendaring tool. It's not quite as powerful as something as, say, Outlook, but it has a similar feel to it and similar basic functionality. And that's something that for most students, unless they're already using a calendar tool elsewhere or they're established with their own organisation tools, this is the first time that they'll have been able to actually physically organise their time and their study time using a calendar. And the great thing about Backpack is that because each course and organisation gets its own tab within Backpack, each tab has its own calendar area. So a student, let's say that they're doing their dissertation, they can go to their dissertation calendar, they can see all of the items that have been downloaded from Blackboard that their tutor may have put up, but also any personal items that they may have put in there. Okay, 2 hours on a Monday afternoon to do particular research or to work on their reading list and so on.
And all these different aspects of their learning can be aggregated into an overview.
That's
calendar.
Right. Yeah. So they can view one big calendar which pulls all of the information from each calendar from their tabs. It sounds more complicated than it looks.
I was quite impressed. You know, the colour coding, I think, is one of the features, which is a very simple feature, but actually does really help, I think, with the management of that stuff.
So for many students, for the first time, when they look at their calendar, they see a big picture. They can see all 5 days of a week, and have their study time mapped out with assignment deadlines in there, meetings, lectures, time that they choose to block out for study. It's colour coordinated. And many of the students, as I'll be telling you later, will find that incredibly powerful.
And can this synchronise with other calendars at all?
No, not at the moment. As far as I know, not anyway. There's no synchronisation with third-party software.
Okay, so you've been running a pilot for the last year, more or less. Well, since about last
September when we really started. In the early stages, over the summer of last year, I sent out some advertising information to teaching staff, asking for people who were interested in the tool and thought that it might prove particularly useful for their students. So I set up a series of about six presentations and invited staff to come and join me and express their interest. I think about 40 staff came and had a look at it, and in the end 20 teaching staff said, I would like you to target my students, and so we did target their students before we let it set it
and you and you've worked definitely through the academics rather than directly with students, or has
in that first instance I worked with academics. The other people that we involved, and this kind of happened fairly early on, I spoke to a couple of the guys from student services, from the disability support unit, that they were really excited by the tool, and they decided that what they would do in the first instance was target dyslexic students, and we got about 50 applications from that particular
group. Right, that sounds
students.
Interesting. It does sound, you know, it's another of these technologies that gives, in theory, more control to the to the student in terms of how they manage their use of content anyway. So were there any particular stories that came out of the accessibility connection?
There weren't actually as many as I thought there might be. Because in my evaluation process, in the very first instance, when I asked students to be to express an interest in being part of the pilot, they filled out an application form, and I was able to deduce that I got about 50 of these students, because I put in a section of how did you hear about this pilot, and many of them responded. I got an email from student services, and a few people said you know, they got learning contracts.
So you've been monitoring the use of Backpack throughout the course of the pilot using various techniques. So you've mentioned the application form. How else have you been gathering information in about its use?
The main item was the survey, and that was really an initial user survey, and it was aimed at those students who'd been using it for a number of weeks, and I was trying to capture what their impressions were, their sort of like immediate impressions of the tool were. And again, that was quite a thorough survey. Out of the 500 students who have had a license over the last 9 months, I got 108 responses, and that gives me an awful lot of rich data which I can kind of interrogate in different ways. I will also be doing a two-level final evaluation. I want to talk to those people who did the first evaluation again and ask them to complete a second one. Okay, so that was what you thought then. What do you think now? And how do you think we can take this forward? And then for all the people who didn't complete that first evaluation, who obviously either couldn't be bothered, didn't engage with it, or had problems but never actually spoke up about those problems, I just want a couple of questions for those people. Did you use it? If you did you think it was any good? And so that I can just get some information from those remaining 400 students, so that I can put my mind at rest about whether none of those students used it, or whether actually some of them did but they just didn't want to talk to me.
You're still evaluating and carrying out the evaluation, but what sort of things have you found out so far?
Well, I think the fact that the respondents to the survey, I think, tells us an awful lot, because the fact that 500 that 100 of the 500 responded, 70% of those felt that they get benefit out of using the tool. The survey gives me quite a lot of information about why they find it useful and how they are using it.
What sort of things were they saying?
They're saying they love the timeliness of it. They love the fact that they can hit a button and they can see instantly what has been updated on Blackboard. And some of the students who are struggling most with a kind of like an overload, you know, that kind of fear of going into Blackboard and trying to find, scrabble around to find the things that their tutors had put on this week. In Blackboard they were struggling, but in Backpack they just hit a button and that information is fed to them.
So there's a very powerful search functionality
Backpack. That ties in with the search function.
And what about the offline access then? Because that seems to be, on the face of it, one of the big features.
And that's also, that proved to be the most popular feature. I think there is a lot more to it than that, and those people who find it useful for travelling between, you know, college and home, or work and home, or wherever, they're not only valuing that they can't get online, but really that just everything is there for them.
So can you just explain to me, is the work with the materials, with the content, is it passive, is it about reading, or is there any sort of interactivity involved so that when they reconnect and upload, you know, does anything ever go back up to the Blackboard site?
Currently, no. Not with the way that we currently support it. When we move up to the next version of Blackboard, which will hopefully be this summer, there will be some elements of what Agilex are calling round tripping.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. When we go up to this new level in Blackboard, we'll then be supporting some of those features. Backpack at the moment for people using 7.2, Blackboard 7.2, does support discussion board round tripping. So content from discussion boards gets downloaded to Backpack, and when the user is offline, they are able to add posts, create posts, hit save. It will say, we can't upload this at the moment, but the next time that you go on, it will automatically sync back up. As I say, that feature is going to be available very soon, I hope.
What about ideas for the future?
As far as Agilex themselves go, they have a lot of ideas, and I think they're trying to push a lot more of the round-tripping functionality, the blogs and the wikis, and they're also very keen on developing a teacher's version so that staff can go and develop their Blackboard sites offline and in an environment which suits them, and then just hit a button when they synchronise and it all go back up. But that's in the future. The main thing that was coming out was they wanted interaction with some of their portal tools, stuff like their timetabling. For many students, that was the one thing that they wanted, and so that might prove to be a killer app.
Have any of the findings or experience from Backpack, are any of these findings likely to affect the way that academics actually work with their own Blackboard courses?
They might do. I think that if the use of Backpack was a lot more widespread throughout the university, I think what we may see would be a kind of like an uprising from students. And here, look, I'm using this tool called Backpack. Would you mind starting to use the calendar tool? Because the calendar tool is...
The calendar tool does seem to be particularly underused, but particularly light in this context.
Yeah. 37% of the respondents to the first survey said that they would like their tutors to use Blackboard. It's so confusing. Blackboard differently, better, more effectively. But many of them said that they were actually happy.
Right, okay, well, this is very much an ongoing project, I think. So let's leave it there, and thank you very much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks very much to Helen Roger for talking to us about Backpack. You'll be able to find more information about Backpack in the show notes for this podcast. If you'd like to get in touch with me, then please do email the podcast at lta-podcast@SHU.ac.uk, or you can view the show notes at http http://ltapodcast.blogspot.com. Thank you very much for listening.